To obey or not to obey? That's the question. When the government tells you to do something that violates your conscience, what is a Christian to do?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is not the first time a question like this has come up through biblical history right up until today. We've been faced with this same issue, namely, when the government tells us to obey, when the government tells us to submit, and it violates our deep-held biblical, religious, spiritual, moral convictions, what then do we do? This is Michael Brown. Welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We are talking about a real-life issue taking place right now in Kentucky, but not just in Kentucky. Similar situations taking place around America. They're only going to increase. As followers of Jesus, we're not called to be rebels. As followers of Jesus, we're not called to say, who cares what the government says? Who cares what the authorities say? I'm going to do my own thing. No, we are submitted people. We are people who honor authority. We are people who believe in submission to authority and who believe that God puts authority in society, in the world, be it parental authority in the home, be it the authority of a police officer directing traffic, be it the authority of a governor, be it the authority of a president. We believe that God establishes authority, and yet we know there are times when the authority tells us to do something we cannot do in good conscience. How do we respond? Do we suffer the consequences of our disobedience? Do we find a way to obey while struggling with our conscience? Do we simply resign and step away, if that's an option at all? How do we handle it? We're going to talk about it. We're going to raise both sides of issues. We're going to talk through the pros and cons of what Kim Davis has done in Kentucky. She is the county clerk who is refusing to issue same-sex, quote, marriage certificates. And Supreme Court says she has to. Liberty Counsel is defending her rights. Does she have a leg to stand on? Is she just being a bigot? Is she simply saying, hey, I don't like same-sex couples and I'm not going to comply with them? Or does she have solid ground on which to stand, biblical precedent and even American history precedent? We'll talk about it. We'll get your viewpoint, 866-34-TRUTH. Before we get into that, I got to the office today, our Fire offices and our Ask Dr. Brown offices, where I have my radio studio as well. And as I walked in, there was a van in the parking lot, one of the students in our School of Ministry, and it caught my attention because written in very clear print, I posted it on Facebook and Twitter, written in very clear print was this on the back window. It was 3 years ago that Jesus rescued me from suicidal depression, drug addiction, and total hopelessness. He forgave everything that I did. And now he lives in me, filling me with endless love, joy, and peace. And then a side window asks, are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for? The famous Leonard Ravenhill quote. Isn't that awesome? What a great way to share the gospel, share your testimony. And if it's perfectly legal to write on the back window, I'm sure he can still see in and out of it. But what a great way to share the gospel with thousands of people. People you'll never meet in your life, but maybe people right then that are drug addicted, people right then that are suicidal, people right then that are hopeless, and they see that, and they call out to Jesus and are saved. That's awesome. Praise God for His amazing grace.
Yeah.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yes, yes, we do. We love Jesus. How about you?
Amen. You think I lay down and die? No, not I. I will survive. For as long as I know how to love, I know how to
live. Yeah, yeah. So there are protests. There, yeah, a little music added in. Protests, pro and con, regarding Kentucky marriage Kentucky clerk Kim Davis. And, of course, she's being mocked and vilified. We'll play some quotes to that effect. But here's her statement. I'm going to read some of it. Here's her statement. 866-34-TRUTH. Is she doing the right thing? Is this hurting the cause of the gospel? Is this the very thing that needs to happen across America? She said this yesterday. I've worked in the Rowan County Clerk's Office for 27 years as a deputy clerk and was honored to be elected as the clerk in November 2014 and took office in January 2015. I love my job and the people of Rowan County. I've never lived any place other than Rowan County. Some people have said I should resign, but I've done my job well. This year on track, we are on track to generate a surplus for the country of the county of $1.5 million. In addition to my desire to serve the people of Rowan County, I owe my life to Jesus Christ, who loves me and gave his life for me. Following the death of my godly mother-in-law over 4 years ago, I went to church to fulfill her dying wish. There I heard a message of grace and forgiveness and surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. I'm not perfect, no one is, but I'm forgiven, and I love my Lord and must be obedient to him and to the word of God. In fact, it's not that long. I'm going to read all of it. I never imagined a day like this would come, where I would be asked to violate a central teaching of Scripture and of Jesus himself regarding marriage. To issue a marriage license which conflicts with God's definition of marriage, with my name affixed to the certificate, would violate my conscience. It's not a light issue to me. It is a heaven or hell decision. For me, it is a decision of obedience. I have no animosity toward anyone and harbor no ill will. To me, this has never been a gay or lesbian issue. It is about marriage and God's word. It is a matter of religious liberty, which is protected under the First Amendment, the Kentucky Constitution, and in the Kentucky Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Our history is filled with accommodations for people's religious freedom and conscience. I want to continue to perform my duties, but I'm also requesting what our founders envisioned, that conscience and religious freedom would be protected. That's all I'm asking. I never sought to be in this position, and I would much rather not have been placed in this position. I have received death threats from people who do not know me. I harbor nothing against them. I was elected by the people to serve as the county clerk. I intend to continue to serve the people of Rowan County, but I cannot violate my conscience. And what she said is, hey, I'm not going to sign any marriage certificates. And there are plenty of other places. I think she said there are 130 other locations you can readily get a marriage certificate signed, so I'm not going to sign them for anyone. Liberty Counsel is standing with her and defending her. And they put out the statement yesterday, late yesterday, the U.S. Supreme Court, so speaking of Monday then, declined to extend the temporary stay of a federal court in order involving Rowan County, Kentucky clerk Kim Davis. The federal court previously ordered Kim Davis to issue marriage licenses to the plaintiffs who filed suit against her. Liberty Counsel represents Kim Davis and appealed that order to the Court of Appeals. The lower court was temporarily stayed until August 31st, and while the appeal is still pending, the stay of the order is no longer in effect. In light of these developments, Kim Davis issued the statement that she did. Some are saying, where's the governor? Governor needs to stand up and say, this is unrighteous. This is wrong. There is no merit to do it. When she was sworn in and as she served as a clerk, marriage is what it's always been. This is something radical that violates the religious beliefs of multiplied tens of millions of Americans in a very deep and serious way. She cannot be expected to violate her conscience here. Others would say, well, what if her religious beliefs were that the races shouldn't mix? And a black man comes in with a white woman, and they want to get married and want her to sign a certificate. What if that was her issue? What if she thought Jews were children of the devil? And if a Jewish couple came in, she said, well, I can't participate with anything in your life. Are those fair examples, or is that comparing apples with oranges? 866-34-TRUTH. What's the bigger issue, the reputation of the gospel, or standing for righteousness in society? Or if we capitulate here, does it affect the gospel in society in the future? I'm going to go to your calls in one moment, but first, I want you to hear what Dan Savage had to say. Joey, grab clip number 18. A couple of things he said, I think, raise valid points. All right. And Professor John Corvino, who's been on the Line of Fire with me and who tends to be very reasonable with regard to these religious freedoms issues, says, hey, it's time for her to go. Time for her to be fired. She wants to take her stand. Time for her to be fired. And we'll look at some of those arguments that are being raised. Dan Savage, though, gay activist and sex columnist Dan Savage, has this to say about Kim Davis.
I actually think Kim Davis does wish to be a martyr. We've seen with some other people who have attacked same-sex couples during the whole debate over same-sex marriage, or as was the case with the pizza parlor that said that they would refuse to cater a same-sex wedding, and no one had asked them to actually cater a same-sex wedding with their pizza. They wound up raising $1 million on a GoFundMe page for that couple, for those people who ran that pizza parlor. And I think Kim Davis is waiting to cash in. I predicted from the beginning that she would defy all the court orders, defy the Supreme Court. She would ultimately be held in contempt of court, lose her job, perhaps go to prison for a short amount of time. And then she will have written for her ghostwritten book. She will go on the right-wing lecture circuit, and she'll never have to do an honest day's work ever again in her life. This is about someone hypocritically cashing in.
That's complete nonsense. From my perspective, only God knows her heart. But that is such nonsense. The pizzeria folks, they were just asked a question by some reporter. They weren't looking for attention. They didn't have this plan. Oh, we'll say this. We'll get nationally attacked. And then after the national attack and death threats, and we don't even know what to do and can't even open our business, then we'll suddenly on GoFundMe, we'll get all this money. And they're not thinking like that. They're just, it's a little place being asked by some reporter. Next thing, it gets broadcast and made into big news. They weren't thinking like this. And I seriously doubt that Kim Davis is thinking like this. Oh, great. I'm going to be blasted around the country. I'm going to be mocked around the country. I'm going to be made into laughing stock. I'm going to get death threats. But it's going to be worth it because I'm going to use this and make a lot of money. I mean, is that how Dan Savage thinks? Is that the strategy he uses? Is he projecting that? Because that's vile. That's vile. Now, you can differ with her actions. And he raises points that are fair points. But that's just bogus. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, to the phones. We start in Queens, New York. Nancy, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. How are you? I haven't talked to you in a long time. I am very upset on a couple of levels. First of all, I believe that the entire Church of Jesus Christ, which is multiplied millions, should stand behind this lady. Number two, and if it is a GoFundMe page and she doesn't have to do another day's work, so be it. Number two, whatever happened to the free exercise thereof clause in the Constitution?
Yeah.
If this thing goes down on that lady, then guess what? Then our right to stand against abortion is going to be next. How many medical people who are not for abortion are going to be in trouble because of this?
Yeah, listen, I appreciate the questions. They are fair questions. What can someone be required to do? What can someone be required to do when it is a fundamental violation of their religious beliefs? You say, well, hang on, you know, she's working for the state. Yeah, but if the state told her to do something that to her was completely unethical, can the state force her to do that? Wasn't our nation founded on religious freedoms? Thank you for the call. I agree. And look, the abortion thing, some of my things extreme, and of course the tide continues to turn against abortion in the country, but what's to say that you couldn't require a doctor to perform an abortion if it's what the patient wanted and it's legal to have one? Why shouldn't you be able to say, well, you're a doctor and you're a surgeon and you are capable of doing this, so I've come to you. How can you discriminate against me? On what basis can a doctor say, no, that violates my conscience or my religious beliefs or my moral beliefs? And Christians, Nancy, absolutely, you're right. Christians absolutely around the country need to rally together. These are moments that we've been waiting for. Yeah, we don't like them. We don't relish them. They can bring reproach to the gospel, especially if you don't handle them correctly. There's a fine line to walk in standing for what's right and not wanting to drive people away. But remember, we're not drawing people to Jesus by compromising. We are not drawing people to Jesus by compromising. Can I say it once more? We are not drawing people to Jesus by compromise. So yes, we're gracious, we're loving, but the idea that this gay couple is going to have a better chance of getting saved if Kim Davis writes out a marriage certificate for them, oh, now they'll have a better chance of getting saved. But when they get saved, they've got to turn away from homosexual practice anyway. We'll be right back.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Why are you not issuing marriage licenses today?
Under
Why?
Whose authority
His
are you not issuing licenses?
Under God's authority.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is part of the conflict. That is part of the controversy in Kentucky, as County Clerk Kim Davis says she will not issue marriage licenses, period, because she cannot serve same-sex couples in that way, so she's just not going to issue any marriage licenses. Is she doing the right thing? Do Christians stand together on these things? Is this pushing people away from the gospel? 866-34-TRUTH, clip number 17. This, again, is Dan Savage, and this is a more reasonable quote than his previous one that I played. Here he's saying, well, look, this, she's just got to do it. She's working for the government. Clip number 17.
It's important to point out that Kim Davis, as John Corvino wrote today in the Detroit Free Press, and I think he said it best, is being asked to administer the law, which is her job. She's not being asked to perform a sacrament. She's tasked with ascertaining that the people in front of her, the couple standing in front of her, have a legal right to get married and to provide them with that license. She is not a minister. She actually thinks she works for God there in the county courthouse when she actually works for Caesar. And someone needs to acquaint her of that fact.
But hang on for a second. You separate it then? You say, okay, I work for Caesar no matter what Caesar tells me to do? Is that what you do? So I guess Dan Savage then feels it's wrong. There was a gay baker. Christian came in, wanted a pro-marriage cake that was clearly against two men or two women, quote, marrying. Wanted the pro-marriage cake. The gay baker refused. The Christian protested that legally. And the court said, yeah, she was right. What? But when you turn it around, and it's a Christian baker and a gay couple, then the Christian baker is wrong? Seems like the Christians are just wrong, doesn't it? Fascinating. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, phone lines are jammed. They're going right back to the phones in a moment. But can I ask you to do me a favor? If you appreciate the work that we're doing, if you believe in the work that we're doing, would you help me get out the word about outlasting the gay revolution? Would you help me get out the word about outlasting the gay revolution, my newest book, Where Homosexual Activism is Really Going and How to Turn the Tide. Very first principle of the 8 principles in my book, never compromise your convictions. I'll give you clear biblical reasons for it. I'll give you clear historical precedent for it. I'll show you how the bullying of the gay activists is going to backfire. You'll be encouraged. You're like other readers. The book is just out, but other readers are saying, man, I was down. I was discouraged. I was gloomy. I was hopeless. But now something's happened. And I read your book, and I'm full of hope and courage and faith. Not anger. Not hatred. Oh, no. The second principle is take the highest moral ground. We're only going to overcome hatred and animosity through love and mercy and truth. And then principle number 4 in the book, refuse to redefine marriage. We will show you once marriage is redefined, it becomes meaningless. So here's what I'm asking you to do. You can go online. You could go to our website, askdrbrown.org. You can go to Amazon and order a copy of the book. But here's the favor I'm asking you to do. Would you just tell a friend, check out Outlasting the Gay Revolution? Would you do that? If you believe in the work we're doing, if you appreciate it, I believe the book is critical for this moment. We're trying to get it into the hands of as many key people across the nation as we can, and every one of you has a role to play. So could I just ask you to do me that favor? Tell a friend, hey, could you check out Outlasting the Gay Revolution, Michael Brown's new book. I think it's relevant to what's happening today. If you don't want to get a copy yourself, or you already have a copy, you can't get one out right now, would you do it? Would you tweet that out to someone? Maybe put up a link to the Amazon site, tweet that out, or on Facebook, just say, hey, would you check this book out? Would you do that? Help me get the word out, because I believe that this book will be a game changer as it gets into the hands of believers across America. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Marlboro, Maryland. Angela, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Good afternoon to you. And I think that you're doing a fabulous job. I just wanted to say that I think that everybody can see that we're living in a time right now where your faith and your moral belief system is being tested in different areas. Unfortunately, sometimes we have to do things that the law has been issued, and we are, as Christians, I don't care who you are, you don't have to be a Christian, but you have to obey authority, although they have authority over you. And, you know, you have to earn a living. I think that anywhere we go today, you can find immorality in everything, whether you work with people who use profanity strongly, whether, you know, you do or don't agree with someone's lifestyle and they've shared their life with you at work. I think everywhere you go, but my job is what I do, or what I've learned to do, is not to be judgmental of other people. I let God do the judging, but I let my life be the standpoint. And most people know my standpoint with my religion, with my God. I read my word every day. If you come in my office, you'll see the Bible laying out, not because I'm trying to be holy. It's just my way of meditation throughout the day. I don't try to push or enforce my belief system on other people. I just, again, let my life do the leading for me. And if people tend to want to talk about something and they ask me, why do I believe what I believe in, then I tell them or I share with them. In this particular case, it's her job. It's her job. It's what she does. As the gentleman said, she's not officiating. She just has to hand out the licenses for it. If she feels like it's a immoral standpoint for her, or whatever the reason may be, then she probably should resign because it goes against what she believes in. I have no problem with that. I'm in ministry, and I do officiate, and I just did a wedding about 60 days ago, and I was asked by the wedding planner. She said, do you have any business cards? I told her not only at the time. She said, do you have a problem with, like, doing any kind of wedding? Well, because that's not, like, my livelihood. That is my ministry now. That's my spiritual belief. And I told her, yes, I don't do same-sex weddings. That's something I do not do. So, you know, again, I have a livelihood. I work for a five-star company. So I do understand that I serve the public. But, however, I cannot bring my spiritual belief into that if I want to keep a job and, you know, maintain and do what I have to do, unless it's something that's detrimental, that's going to terribly, like, you know, mess me up with my relationship with God. That's different. I think she's protesting a little too strongly. 27 years, maybe resign, find something else to do. Maybe go be a greeter at Walmart. I don't know. You know, pray about it. Ask God about it, but don't get really crazy about it, because there are many people that come through that office. They may not be same-sex, you know, people that are trying to get married. They may be transgendered. How many people have you given a license to, and you don't even know that that man that came in there was a Caitlyn Jenner, and you didn't even know it, because cosmetic surgery is that lucrative today.
Got it. Hey, listen, I got to jump in. You've eloquently presented your position, and folks are going to agree with you. Folks are going to disagree. But thanks for laying it out. Thanks for the kind words. I appreciate it. Sorry I got to cut you off, but I got a break right here. But so you heard from Angela. Do you agree? Do you disagree? 866-34-TRUTH. What about the fact that when she was sworn in, marriage was one thing. Now it's been changed. Let the discussion continue, and let us pray that Jesus would be exalted in all of it.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'll say it again. I feel like that umbrella salesman in the desert. People say, Mike Brown, Dr. Brown, why are you stocking up on all these umbrellas? It's the desert. Are you crazy, man? You got tens of thousands of umbrellas. You got an umbrella factory pumping them out. You got warehouse after warehouse after warehouse with umbrellas. What you doing with those umbrellas, man? You're crazy. And then the storm comes, and everyone's saying, can you get me one of those umbrellas? Actually, I need five umbrellas. Yeah. We've been warning about things. We've been talking about things. You hear me introduced every day on the radio as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. You're like, what's that talking about? What does he mean, moral, cultural, spiritual revolution? Now, it's becoming more and more clear, is it not? 866-34-TRUTH. Rand Paul. This is what he says. He is supporting this stance of the clerk, saying it's part of the American way. He said, I think one way to get around the whole idea of what the Supreme Court is forcing on the states is for states just to get out of the business of giving out licenses. Alabama has already voted to do this. They're just no longer going to give out licenses. Anybody can make a contract. And then if you want a marriage contract, you go to a church. And so I've often said we could have gotten around all of this also in the sense that I do believe everybody has a right to a contract. He said there should never have been any limitations on people of the same sex having contracts, but I do object to the state putting its imprimatur to the specialness of marriage on something that's different from what most people have defined as marriage for most of our history. So one way is just getting out of the state out completely. And I think that's what we're headed towards, actually. Whether or not people who still work for the state can do it without the legislature changing it is something I'm going to leave up to the courts exactly how to do it. What does Lindsey Graham say about this? Clip number 19, Lindsey Graham has asked this very same question about the county clerk. And what does he have to say?
What's your opinion on what she ought to do here, Senator?
As a public official, comply with the law or resign.
And no middle ground, right? The rule of law is the rule of law.
The rule of law is the rule of law. That's what we are, a rule of law nation. And I appreciate her conviction. I support traditional marriage. But she's accepted a job where she has to apply the law to everyone, and that's her choice.
Right, so the question is, what if the law is wrong, unjust? What if the Dred Scott decision, was not that the Supreme Court? Was not that the rule of law? Was it right or wrong to reject that? Is there a time when it is right to reject it? I'll tell you this. If it was a gay couple that refused to obey the law in a certain area, or a gay clerk, there would be a national outcry calling that person a hero. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Colleen. Nope. Let's try Alicia, or is it Elisha?
It's Alicia.
Alicia. Okay, so you should know that Alicia, that is the way that the biblical hero's name is pronounced. But mm-hmm. We have it as Elisha. So I just didn't know if it was a man or a woman. But Elisha, it is. But that's the way it's pronounced for the man in the Bible. So nice to meet you, Elisha. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Michael Brown. I just wanted to weigh in on the last caller. I think her name was Angela.
Yes.
I'm going to have to really disagree because she said a couple of things about, as a Christian, we have to submit to authority. And yes, we do have to submit to authority, but the question is, whose authority? Whose authority has first preference in our lives? And we all know that that's God's authority. And the Bible clearly states that, God is against homosexual marriage. And she has the right as her... She has the right to refuse the marriage certificate. She has the right to do that because her final authority is her God.
All right, stay right there. I want you to continue on the other side of the break, all right? And everybody else that is holding patiently, Yvonne and Craig and Nate and Diane, I want to get to all your calls. So, Alicia, we obey God rather than authority? How does it work?
Yeah. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The scriptures are very clear that we're to be submitted and obedient people. If a police officer stopped me for something, let's say there was a registration issue with my car and I got pulled over and I didn't know why I was getting pulled over, I'm in a hurry to get somewhere, that's still sir or ma'am, that's still an officer. That person is worthy of my respect because of their position. If I disagree with a governmental leader and I address them in an open letter on the radio, I'll do so respectfully. I remember many years ago listening to Rush Limbaugh when he was attacking Bill Clinton. He used to call him Slick Willie. And of course, Rush Limbaugh's just doing it as a radio host and political figure, not as a born-again Christian. But I remember thinking, I have grave issues with Bill Clinton as well, but he's President Clinton. I'm not going to speak about him in those vilifying terms. So we respect authority, but you better believe Scripture tells us there are times when we say we have to obey God rather than man. So we go back to Newark, New Jersey. Alicia, thanks for holding. Welcome back to the Line of Fire.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes, I just feel like God has the final authority. Regardless of what laws change, God's laws, God's word never changes.
Yeah, so if I'm following him, I have to follow him consistently, right? I don't put on one hat in the workplace, and that's the secular hat, and then I leave, and then I put on the God hat when I leave. It's the same thing 24/7. It doesn't mean that I expect everyone in the workplace to agree with me spiritually or religiously. It doesn't mean that I can't work with people from all different faiths and backgrounds. I may have a boss that's an atheist and a coworker that's a Hindu and a supervisor that's a Muslim. And fine, we just work together in the workplace. But if they ask me to do something that violated my fundamental religious beliefs and that was part of our freedom and religion in America, then God would expect me to say, with all respect to you, I have to obey the Lord. Hey, thank you for weighing in. And I'm sure, again, many agree with what you're saying. 866-34-TRUTH, I believe that Christians around America and Christian governmental leaders should stand together here, but feel free to differ. As Angela did, feel free to differ. As you have different perspectives, we are absolutely willing to hear them and discuss them. We go to Brooklyn, New York. Yvonne, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello. One of the things I'm thinking that's going on is when we're talking about Christians, like in the case of Angela, I wouldn't say she's not a Christian or a Christian, but the thing is we're not in the Word. The thing is we're making up our own revelations and stuff like that. Because too many people tell me, well, no, I ask them, do they read the Bible? And so they can't define a man and a woman. They can't define morality or immorality because the same type people, they believe, you know, that you don't have to be married, you know, to have intercourse and stuff like that. So it's going back to the Word, but then the thing is, if we're not demonstrating, okay, we call ourselves Christian and we're not demonstrating that we are in the Word, okay, how do you think the people in the court system that changes the gender definition, they have the right, if we have the right to change the Word, we're not following, so what do we expect of them? Because, I mean, where are all of these change definitions coming in from? And the thing is, it's just getting worse in the working world. It's not only, okay, with this one in the court system, it's like if they find out you go to church, then they change your schedule around so you don't have Sundays off, or, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff going on. And then, you know, the boss asks you to do something that's immoral, and, okay, because he's the authority, he has the right? I mean, maybe I'm a little bit off.
Yeah, so obviously, look, you may have a sales job. You may have a sales job, and in that sales job, you're told, right, this is our pitch, but it's dishonest. And I used to have that with a job, and I thought, okay, here's a way around it where I can tell the truth, but still get to the same end result that the company is looking for, and that's what I did. And did it successfully enough, But then at a certain point, I felt the company just wanted me to put too much pressure on people, and I couldn't do it. And yeah, we're married with kids. It's our livelihood. I was going to grad school, too. But how to make those choices. So it does happen in many different ways. Again, the question is, thanks for the call. The question is, where do we draw the line? Where do we draw the line? We don't want to be prima donnas, right? Well, I don't like that. No, I don't think I want to do that. On the other hand, are there not fundamental issues? Is the issue of marriage not a fundamental issue? Is this not something that is just completely outrageous, the idea it's even being discussed right now? 866-34-TRUTH. All right, so Kim Davis, I was reading one article that said her current husband. I thought, okay, what does that mean? Well, she's been married several times. Is it true? Four times? Well, then that completely disqualifies her, right? Throw it out. She's a hypocrite. Married four times, and now she's not going to give a marriage certificate to a gay couple? Come on, she's a hypocrite. Or maybe there are multiple marriages because she didn't know Jesus. She said she's come to know Jesus in the last 4 years, and her life has been changed. Maybe for her, marriage is for life, and her whole perspective has changed. But you understand, these things can become very complicated. How we handle them is going to have lasting repercussions, lasting effects for this generation and the generations to come. 866-34-TRUTH, Providence, Rhode Island. Craig, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for accepting my call. Just something quick. I don't want to create any length of time, but the Bible says, love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your spirit. And the second commandment is the same. And so we have to love everybody. So I'd like to go back into that room where that person was applying for a marriage license and sit in the conversation. And I'd like to sit there to see if the person that was in charge of signing over a license or getting a license application, whatever, if she communicated in love. And if she didn't, then she's wrong. Because we're supposed to love everybody, even our enemies. Okay? And so if she didn't do it in love, now the media gets a hold of it and the split happens. And that's what the evil one wants. The devil wants to split us up, split up this country, because he can take over and do what he wants.
All right. Let me jump in, Craig. So let me ask you two things. Number one, do you think she'd be attacked any less if she looked him in the eye, grabbed their hands and said, hey, you seem like very, very nice guys, and I would love to do this for you, but I can't. It's a violation of my conviction. Hey, if you just go right down the block here, you can get it done. Number one, do you think that there would be any less attack on her right now based on what's happened with others being very loving, gracious, sweet, and saying I can't provide services? They've been attacked just the same.
Okay.
I agree with you. I totally agree we have to walk in love. Here's the other question. When she lovingly tells the couple, I can't do this, are they going to feel any less rejected or be any less angry? Excellent chance they're going to react the same way. So I agree with the principle. Absolutely. Walk in love and let it be demonstrable. But this is one of those situations, unless you do what they want you to do, in this case, a gay couple or gay activist or others, you're going to be branded a hater.
I'm gonna have to say this. I own a business, and I repair vehicles. Okay, and I repair vehicles for everyone. I don't care race, gender, what they do, what they are. But I'm gonna also say that I believe in Jesus Christ. He's my Lord and Savior, and I do exactly what God expects me to do: love everybody, love your enemy. That's all I'm saying. Love everybody. Now, if she did it in love, and God is all-powerful, okay, and I've seen it happen in my life, if God is all love, love takes over the evil, and love always wins, okay? So I would have to say that if she did it all in love, we wouldn't be speaking today, because love always wins.
Craig, hang on for a second.
Yeah.
Hang on for a second. There are people who lovingly tell Muslims about Jesus and get killed. There are people who lovingly say, I'm so sorry, but I can't agree with that, and they lose their jobs. There's case after case after case. Love wins. It may not succeed at the moment. You may lose your job. You may end up in jail. Listen, Craig, I have done things in the sweetest, most gentle, gracious, loving way that I know how, and have been blasted for it as a hate-filled, malicious bigot. Was not Jesus maligned? Didn't he tell us we would be maligned? So I agree, let us be maligned for the gospel, not for carnal behavior and foolishness. But we're going to be maligned. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, this is the reality. This is the reality. You are officially a religious extremist if you are standing against the redefining of marriage. That is the reality. You are now branded a religious extremist. Michelangelo Signorelli, editor-at-large, gay voices, The Huffington Post, says Kentucky clerk Kim Davis wants to be removed from office, so be it. And he says this, it's time for those of us who support justice to stay, so be it. We cannot be held hostage to the theatrics of religious extremists, nor should we allow them to think that supposedly bad optics will deter us in demanding our rights. So if you agree with Kim Davis, you would take the stand she takes. You are a religious extremist. You've been branded. We have warned this was coming. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Alexandria, Virginia. Nate, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, hello, Dr. Michael Brown. This was concerning Angela and what she said. Tony Evans was preaching on this sermon on how if the government makes laws or anything that does not conform with God's word, then we ought to disobey, which it says in Acts chapter 5, 29, where Peter mm-hmm. says we obey God rather than men. So I will encourage her to read our word, not to compromise to whatever the government proposed. And I will say we should keep the judge who, who is refusing to issue the license.
Yes, Kim Davis. Kim Davis, the deputy clerk. Yes. Yeah.
We should keep her in prayer. But I disagree with what Ms. Angela was saying, that I pray that she will read her word, that we should never compromise as Romans.
Got it. Right. So when the government tells us to disobey God, we respectfully say to the government, I have to obey God rather than men. And there are quite a few examples of this in Scripture. Remember, it was the Jewish government, the authorities, the Sanhedrin, that said, don't preach Jesus anymore. Don't do what you're doing. You say, yeah, but that crossed a different line. That's the question. When's the line crossed? But you're exactly right, Nate. There are times, plainly, when if the government tells us a certain thing, the only possible Christian response is, I'm sorry, but I must obey God rather than man. Thank you for that and for the scripture reference, Nate. Much appreciated. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Charlotte, North Carolina. Diane, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Praise the Lord, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Very well. I just have three comments I'd like to make. One is with Angela. I totally disagree with her and what she says. We don't take off Jesus and go to work and then put him back on and come home. Our Christianity is 24/7. That's our rule of law when we're working and wherever we are on the earth. Wherever we are Jesus' representative. We're supposed to be salt and light. And the lady that's standing against issuing the marriage license, I think the church needs to stand with her, pray for her. Every born-again believer needs to stand with her and pray for her, because it's at her door now, but it's coming to our door. We can't separate our lives. We don't separate the secular and the sacred. We don't mm-hmm. do that. We stand for Jesus every day. every day. Not some days, not because, ooh, it's going to cost me my job. All she needs to do is look at Daniel, look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come into the New Testament, look at John and Peter. And I don't know what Bible she's reading. I'm not, you know, condemning her, but I don't know what she's reading or how she's interpreting this. You can't take off Jesus. You just don't do that.
Got
That's
it.
That's my comment.
Got it. Hey, Diane, thank you for weighing in loud and clear. If any of you are wondering what these recent callers are responding to, it's a caller in our first half hour, a woman who's a minister and works a secular job named Angela, and said, of course, she would grant a license in the job, but she would not perform in ministry a same-sex wedding, but she'd grant a license if that was her job as a clerk or something like that. All right, thank you for weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm getting sent a lot of stuff from friends and colleagues. I don't know if they knew I was talking about this on the air, but during breaks, I'm trying to read things. A lot of interesting comments, a lot of people weighing in. And if I don't get to your calls, I'm going to take a few more calls now. But stay right there, because I'm going to keep talking about this into the next hour. All right, so stay right there, and I'll get your call as soon as possible. Phone lines have been jammed with people wanting to weigh in on this. But again, if you want to do something that would be really helpful, I'm asking you to stand with me and tell a friend about my new book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution. The moment you start reading it, you're like, oh, this answers the questions. Oh, this is dealing directly with these very issues. The very first principle of the book, never compromise your convictions. Principle number four, refuse to redefine marriage. And words of hope and courage and faith and statistics and articles from right now showing how gay activism is going to defeat itself and how the bullying will backfire. You may have already ordered the book. You may plan to order it. But if you could just do me this one favor, tell a friend, hey, check out Michael Brown's new book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution. Readers are telling us they're getting filled with faith and hope and courage as they read it, and also a greater heart of love towards those who identify as LGBT. So would you do me that favor? It's my joy to have you as our listeners, and this is something I'm just asking to do that won't cost you a dime. Tell a friend. Shoot them an email. Tweet it out. Put it on Facebook. Just tell them word of mouth. Hey, check out this new book, because it is absolutely custom-made for this very moment in our history. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Richmond, Virginia. Teresa, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Graham. I just wanted to say, if the Word of God says, be not conformed to the ways of this world, which I agree with Nate 100%, then how is it that I could declare myself a Christian with this Christ-like, and then conform to this world in other areas? You know, it's either do or don't, as the young lady prior to me said. And another thing is, and as far as Angela is concerned, if Angela, what if they were to tell her, okay, she said, I lay my Bible on my desk, I do this and I do that. Well, okay, I work a job where they say, you can't bring your Bible in. I work a job where they told me that I had to come, they wanted me to conform. I didn't have to, but they wanted me to conform to a gentleman who was working there. He came in, a gentleman, and then he demanded to dress like a woman, and then he demanded to wear makeup, and then he demanded to wear, to come in the girls' bathroom, and he would demand to come in when I was in there. So there's so many things that if you allow yourself to be silent as a Christian, that you will be run over like a freight train, because the ways of this world is to silence you.
Yeah.
And if we have rights, why can't we just stand for Jesus? You know, that's all he asks you to do.
Right. And I got to jump in just because we're out of time. But thank you for getting that out. It's a holistic thing. We're followers of Jesus all the time. All right. My bottom line today, this is the day for moral backbone. This is the day for courage. This is the day to stand together and say, we're going to do what's right, not what's convenient. To obey or not to obey? That's the question. When the government tells you to do something that violates your conscience, what is a Christian to do?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to The Line of Fire. We had a super busy first hour where a whole lot of people wanted to weigh in, and we're going to continue taking calls the second hour, 866-34-TRUTH, to obey or not to obey. When you have the county clerk, Rowan County in Kentucky, Kim Davis, saying she's not going to issue any licenses at all. Any marriage licenses at all, because she cannot issue licenses to same-sex couples. The Supreme Court there was a stay, temporary stay. Her case is still under appeal, but the Supreme Court said no, she has to issue these licenses. She's saying she's not going to, and she's getting savaged for it by people like Dan Savage. Is she doing the right thing? Is she pushing people away from the gospel? Is this what a gospel abiding person should do? Where do we draw the line then? What if you have an issue that you're reading the Bible says the races should be separated, so you won't grant a certificate to a man and woman if they're of different races? You know, maybe you're a black man, a white woman. No, you're not going to issue them a certificate. What if you don't like Jews? I think Jews aren't Christians, so I only issue certificates for Christians. I know that some of these illustrations might be crazy, some not. But where does one draw the line? Let's go to clip number 20. This is Dan Savage yesterday, gay activist and sex columnist Dan Savage, explaining why Kim Davis is very wrong in his view.
Where are we going to live in a society where we're going to empower people to break the law, to disobey the law, to walk off their jobs when they're public servants, elected officials, people charged with a public trust, when something violates their religious beliefs? Is this something that Christians want to see Muslims doing or Jews doing? Do you want to have to call the grocery store if you want to go buy some bacon and make sure that everybody working that day is willing to handle pork products, which not everyone is, for religious reasons? Do you want cab drivers to refuse to pick up single unaccompanied women because it violates their religious beliefs? We live in a pluralistic, multicultural, multi-faith, multi-denominational, within faiths, society, and it would be utter chaos if everyone was empowered to cite God's authority to violate the law or break the law.
Now, by the way, I think those are valid questions. But you could also turn it around and say, does that mean that you can ask a Jewish photographer to shoot a wedding on a Saturday, and he has to, even if he's an Orthodox Jew? You can go to a Muslim catering shop, and they cater weddings, and say, okay, I want you to cater my wedding, but we want pork, and they have to do it. Why would that be the case? Or that you are, say, a Playboy magazine, and you move into a new area, and you want someone to do a photo shoot, you hear there's a top photographer, and you go there and say, no, I'm sorry, I'm a Christian. I don't do shoots like that. So the argument goes both ways. The question is there any point when it's right for us to say to the government? Because here's the difference. Those other cases I raised and Dan Savage raised were not government issues. So now this is the government. You go to the government, and the government employs you, and now the government says you must do this. Is there ever a time when Christians say to the government, sorry, I can't do that in good conscience? I'm going to have to disobey you. Isn't the Bible filled with examples like that? Don't you have it in the book of Exodus? Don't you have it in the book of Daniel? Don't you have it in the New Testament in several different occasions? You have examples of people with respect, because we're obedient people, not rebels, saying to the government, with all respect, I can't obey. We're going to take this a little further. We're going to keep talking through the issues, but as soon as we go back, I'm going to straight your calls. That was Dan Savage on MSNBC. No surprise, right? We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're looking to stay. Just push back away from the counter.
No.
Just push back away from the counter.
We're not leaving until we have a license. We're not leaving
then
until we
have
a license.
Do your job.
Well, when you call the police,
your job.
I'll ask them to arrest you.
Do your job.
Call the police.
Do your job.
Call the police.
Now, you see, it's not just as simple as a couple comes in there, two men, and the county clerk says, no, I'm sorry, I can't do this, but just go over here, they'll be able to take care of this for you. It's not that simple. There's now the intimidation and the threats and the protests and bringing this before the nation, which means all the more then are you going to stand up and do what's right. The more you get challenged and pushed, the more you realize the importance of standing. This is Michael Brown. Welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. And, of course, we're talking about Kim Davis in Kentucky, the county clerk who has said that she cannot issue these licenses to same-sex couples in good conscience before God. Now, go on the phones in a moment, but if you remember during the first presidential debate that Governor Huckabee, Mike Huckabee, said plainly that he would immediately say that Roe v. Wade, abortion as it stands now, is a violation of various things constitutionally, nationally, and would immediately issue a presidential order against it. I'm not representing it exact word for word, obviously. But he understands that the same thing with marriage, that the court had no right to redefine marriage. So check this out. This is an article from February 5th, 2012. Amy Contrada, in a conservative living in Massachusetts, working with mass resistance. Amy Contrada, in an article, February 5th, 2012, Huckabee on Romney and gay marriage in Massachusetts. This is what Mike Huckabee said. He could have stopped it about Mitt Romney and should have stopped it. CNS News says Governor Romney should have stood up to the court and said no. Huckabee said he should have. He should have. So Mike Huckabee clearly said that Mitt Romney should have said to the court, no, you have ruled wrongly. And I, as the governor of this state, refuse to comply. 866-34-TRUTH. We start in Richmond, Virginia with Bill. Welcome to The Line of Fire. And just one thing to fill in my listeners. We got a call from a woman in the first half hour of the first hour, a woman named Angela, who said she is a minister and is a minister that she would not perform a same-sex, quote, wedding. But if that was her job and her livelihood, she would do it. She'd tell people about Jesus. She'd love on them and share the gospel and so on. But of course, if her job required her to issue a certificate to a same-sex couple, she would do it because that's her job and that's what the government has ruled. But in terms of her ministry, then she wouldn't do that. And we had a number of calls wanting to respond. So if anyone wants to weigh in on that, that's just the context of that call. All right. Thanks for your patience, Bill. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. I found that interesting, what she had said. Just kind of a little background. I've got a lot of friends that are gay, but I don't support gay marriage. You know, I love everybody, but there are things that we can't say this is okay. And so, but what I found interesting about the minister was that I'm a minister, and I know that at some time this may happen to me. And we are agents of the state when we do weddings. And so I am licensed through the state. I'm ordained to perform weddings, but I have to be licensed in this state to perform weddings. So for the clerk, saying no would be the same thing as her saying no to performing a gay wedding. And so even the comments that she said, well, you know, I'm a minister, I don't perform gay weddings. Well, that puts her in the exact same position as the county clerk, because she is an agent of the state. And, you know, they, they could take her to court and do all kinds of stuff or whatever they want to do. And I don't think that we really realize that this is a stepping stone to open up the doors for a whole lot of things that we don't realize is going to happen. And so I think she was incorrect in the assumption that and we as Christians have this problem. As long as it doesn't bother me, I'm not going to get involved.
Got it.
And it does bother her. It is going to affect her. It is going to affect me. It affects you. And so hopefully we can see this thing turn. But my question with you know, we need to obey the laws of the land. And when I say this, I'll prefix this, and hopefully nobody will soundbite it. With the whole thing, hopefully, okay, I'm not saying that the LGB and all that is aligned and are this, but in Nazi Germany, it was legal to kill Jews. And so the question is where I work with a lot of Christian music artists, and I said, you've got to draw a line in the sand where you're not going to go past. And the question is where are we going to draw the line that the government is, you know, where do we draw that line? Do we wait until people?
No, we've got to draw it. Yeah, Bill, we've got to draw it. Now, you make great points. I appreciate every one of them. And yes, totally clear that you're not comparing gay activists to Nazis in Germany. You're not making that comparison, although gay activists will constantly call us Nazis, ironically enough. But important points. Number one, when you are performing a wedding, the only marriage and you sign a certificate, the only reason it has any validity is because the state recognizes your ordination. So that is true. I agree with that. And therefore, the state could threaten to revoke your ordination if you simply said, well, I can't comply. But the line has to be drawn now. The line must be drawn now. There's no question. Look, friends, I said in the first hour, I want to say it again. And it's simply a personal favor, but I believe it's for the good of the church and the good of the nation. My new book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, just out. Some of you have already ordered it. Some of you are reading it and being encouraged and filled with hope and strength as you're reading it now. We're trying to get in the hands of key people around the country because I believe it's been written for this very moment, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, where homosexual activism is really going, how to turn the tide. I lay out plainly where we must draw the line and why. The first principle of 8 in the book, never compromise your convictions. Principle number 4, refuse to redefine marriage. And I explain why, both biblically and sociologically, why we must draw this line. Bill, what we do is we are going to draw it and we keep moving it. You know what it's like? And thank you for weighing in, sir. Thank you very much. 866-34-TRUTH. You know what it's like? It's like diet, all right, losing weight. And oh man, I'd never get to this weight. But then you get used to it. And you put on a little more weight, so you get looser clothes. Well, I'd never get to it. And you keep doing it. It happens with 1,000 different areas in life, doesn't it? There's a very interesting comment that is made here by Douglas Wilson on his blog, says, in which I paint with some bright yellows. He said, whenever we get to that elusive and ever receding hill to die on, we'll discover upon our arrival there that it only looked like a hill to die on from a distance. Up close, when the possible dying is also up close, it kind of looks like every other hill. All of a sudden, looks like a hill to stay alive on, covered over with topsoil that looks suspiciously like common ground. So it turns out the surrendering hills is not the best way to train for defending the most important ones. Retreat is habit forming. Well said, correctly said, Douglas Wilson. So team up with me here, and if I could ask you simply to tell a friend about Outlasting the Gay Revolution, say, hey, check out Michael Brown's new book. If I could ask you to do that, we are burning to get this book into the hands of Americans, church leaders, secular leaders as well. We believe it could be a game changer. It's not time to throw in the towel. It's time to push back. Outlasting the Gay Revolution. Shoot an email to your friend, give him a call, put it on your Facebook page, tweet it out. You can link to Amazon if that's the easiest thing to do, or to a website. But just tell some about it. Hey, check out this book. because it speaks to the very issues we're dealing with, but it will speak in a way that will fill you with hope and courage and faith, and will also give you a strategy for action. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. I am going right back to the calls, right back to the phone. So Elvis, Jason, Susan, Ellen, William, stay there. We'll be right back to you on the other side of the break. 866-34-TRUTH, number to call. And again, tell a friend about Outlasting the Gay Revolution or pick up a copy for yourself. You won't be disappointed. I can pretty well assure you of that.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So you do think campaigning is the key? That this is really what brings about change?
All through the 1970s, 80s, and 90s, quiet, patient, traditional lobbying was a total failure. It was only when we began to get uppity and shake up the establishment that they began to sit up and take notice. So when I look at outrage in the early 1990s, we did some provocative protest, like going to the pulpit of the Archbishop of Canterbury or invading and occupying police stations. It got news coverage. That provoked public debate. It put the authorities under pressure. And then groups like Stonewall could step in and say, well, you better negotiate with us rather than those nasty people from Outrage.
So you're the good guys and the bad guys scenario.
Yeah, very much good cop, bad cop. And it really did work. You sometimes need the Malcolm X's in order to make the Martin Luther King's look respectable.
Ah, that was the voice of Peter Tatchell, gay activist in England on BBC's Analysis, talking about how they brought about social change. Quite interesting, would you not agree? 866-34-TRUTH. We go to, let's first go to Cranston, Rhode Island. Susan, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I'm just calling to say that I was listening to the program, and the woman that calls herself a minister, how can you be a minister? Yeah, I mean, if you don't render everything to God, and not to men, I don't know how you can call yourself a minister, because you're not under God. You're under another authority. And I prefer to be under God than men. And I think if, like, it took 10 righteous only in Sodom and Gomorrah before they wouldn't destroy it, and they couldn't even find really 10 righteous. And righteous is God first, and whatever he says is true. And it's the truth that he will help you and bring you forth. But if you had more gathered together, you could support their prices that you have to pay for all their scandals when they come intentionally to these bakeries and everything. We should give them lawsuits and give them, you know, stand together and fight them off.
And yeah, well, for sure. I mean, obviously, you're not going to have a lawsuit against a couple coming in saying, we want you to bake a cake for a quote wedding and it's two men or something like that. Obviously, you're not going to have a lawsuit against them. But by all means, we should be standing with the believers. We should be standing together and saying, hey, we care about everybody, but there are plenty of places you can get a cake baked, plenty of places you can get a marriage certificate signed. But we have deep moral fundamental convictions, and tampering with marriage is one of the most sacred of them. Yeah, but you've had hypocrites and they've been divorced. Yeah, well, we're working on getting our own house in order, but we're not going to allow more damage to come. Let's fix everything together. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Raleigh, North Carolina. Dave, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Hey, man. So I just was coming on my way home and caught the back end of your program here before the break. And, you know, I've been born again, I guess, about 20 years ago. And, you know, it kind of, I don't know how to say this tactfully, but I feel like it disgusts me to what I see. The church takes such a hard line against other people's beliefs or persuasions. I mean, at the end of the day, there is a separation between church and state, and it drives me nuts to see this fanatical right wing just try to impose this upon other people. Look, if people want to, there's other ramifications to being married. You know, you can live your whole life with somebody, and that person die, and you lose all your stuff because you're not, quote-unquote, married. There's a lot of other aspects to this being married than just whether you agree or disagree with their lifestyle. So until there's a laws put in place that can address, you know, how property and things like that get moved back and forth, there is a legitimate need for people to be married under state laws. And so I wish that...
Hang on. All right, you said a few things. Let me just interact with you.
Yeah.
First thing is this. Where did you get this idea of separation of church and state, the way you're applying it, that you can't be a Christian and have a conviction in the workplace, you can't be a Christian and have a conviction in the schools, you can't be a Christian and have a conviction in society? Where did you get that idea of separation of church and state? Because it's absolutely not in our Constitution or in our history until recent years.
I didn't say that. When I say separation between church and state, I think most people would agree with this. The idea behind that is, look, there's a lot of religions. Everybody thinks they're right. So at the end of the day, you can't force religion upon people. So the separation of church and state is you can't make laws that govern a collection of people based upon one religion, whether you think it's right or wrong. You can't do that. So that's what I mean by separation between church and state.
But hang on. What does that have to do? Right, so what it means is you cannot enforce a religion on the nation. All right, but what if people said, well, in our view, murder is fine. In our view, stealing is fine. And that's just your religious belief. Why is that silly? You want to tamper with marriage, and you call me silly to say that some people are going to differ with other things?
There's still laws.
You want to tamper with the fun?
Murdering. You just use murder and stealing, I think, as two examples. I didn't catch.
Where did we get our morality from? Founding fathers. What document did they quote more than any other document? The Bible. Left and right. Left and right. Left and right. That's what fueled their morality. But they would not impose a state religion. But you're saying that we should have freedom from religion. That if someone has a religious belief, but that's completely unconstitutional and completely contrary to the founding of our country. It was
that there will not be
a religion. Of course it's true. It will not be a religion. There will not be a religion imposed on the nation. There will not be a state church. But you better believe, if you have deep religious convictions, our country was founded on religious freedom. And now you're telling someone that doesn't apply in the workplace. That doesn't apply in the school. That you don't have that freedom except in your church building.
You're going, hold on. Freedom, you're making it bigger than what I had said. You're imposing the church trying to take this hard line on this on marriage is imposing their
hard line. Marriage has only been one thing through human history. It's always involved a male and a female. Always. We're not taking a hard line. We're just saying you can't change it. Here, when I say spell cat, C-A-T, that was spelling, not math. When I say 2 + 2 = 4, that's math, not spelling. To say marriage is the union of a male and female, that's not taking a hard line. You're taking a crazy line when you try to redefine it. It's not taking a hard line to say marriage is what it's always been, and the only reason the government gets involved is because it wants to see the next generation come along so there's procreation and a kid raised by a mother and a father. So... What's the hard line? The hard line is when you're telling me that I now have to throw my religious beliefs out and American history out and world history out and the meaning of marriage throughout our history. I have to throw it out because two guys are attracted to each other. That's crazy. And yet you're willing to call us religious fanatics or right-wing fanatics and so on? That concerns me, man. I think you drank a little bit of the social Kool-Aid. I'm serious. I think you've bought into the lies of the culture and age. Hey, call me another day, man. I got phone lines jammed. So let's talk another day.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I just want to point something else out, and I've got so many callers on hold, I want to be fair to others. But just to our last caller, this is not a battle we went looking for. This is not something that we started or provoked. This is something that came knocking at our door. And when our kids come home from school and they're shocked about what they just learned in class, and when you ask to be able to opt them out next time that's taught, you're told you can't. This is something that came knocking at our door, where now there's a push to try to get churches to lose their tax exemption because of our stance on the Bible and marriage and family. This is something that came knocking at our door when someone took us to court saying that we had to bake a cake or we had to do something that violated our religious convictions. And there are even denominations being sued by gay couples saying, you have to perform our wedding. And they said, well, no, it's in our denominational bylaws that we don't agree with that. Well, we're going to push that. This is something that came knocking at our door. This is not something that we thought, oh, let's go looking for this. You have no idea the level you get maligned when you stand up for these issues. You have no idea the constant flood of the most vile hate mail you could ever imagine. Sick, despicable, ugly junk day and night, and sometimes worse than that when you stand for what's right. I'm not claiming I'm a martyr because of that. It's just words for the most part. I don't think anyone's really trying to kill me or anything like that. And even so, people getting killed for the gospel all the time. But I don't know any gay activist wants to kill me or another believer. It's mainly just legal opposition and persecution and verbal, and then the societal rejection and things like that. So be it. That's not an issue. But you don't do this to be popular. There are plenty of places won't have you speak for them because they're afraid this topic's going to come up. There are places that won't have you. Well, you wrote this book. I can't have you. Oh, yeah. By God's grace, we're thriving and doing well, and more doors are open for us in ministry than any other time in our lives as we're obeying the Lord and seeking to please him. But you don't do this because, oh, let's pick another. No, this is the most unpleasant thing. And then the whole time you know that when you stand for what's right, you're going to push people away that you love and care for. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, Frederick, Maryland, Ellen, thanks for holding. Welcome to the line of fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I was calling just to thank you for being a voice for many of us, as well as standing on the word and not compromising, even in the midst of nasty and satanic opposition. May God continue to bless you and give you all that's needed to do his work, and I know that he will. I was just listening to all the calls, and, you know, my opinion is that they're a reflection of the compromising church. I just want to read a scripture that says in Revelation, long, but what I'll do is I'll read one verse. It says, but I have a few things against you, because you have, there are those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught to Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. The problem is not human, I would say human rights, per se. The problem is the sexual immorality with the gay rights issue. And especially, specifically for the marriage part. And I hear a lot of people calling in, so-called Christians, pretty much standing up against Christians who are standing for this individual who's standing against sex laws. And one of the things I want to say is we're the national leaders. Where are those who are on TV? Where are the Christian leaders? And I will not name them, but where are they? Where, if the church in general had cried out and had been more forceful at the very beginning of this issue, we wouldn't be standing here right now. That's
Ellen,
an indictment against us.
You're right. I agree. I agree with everything you said. I agree. Time to stand. And Ellen, thank you for the kind words and the prayers.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll go to Chet. All right. Let's see if we got Chesterfield, Virginia here. William, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hey, how you doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
I called in originally with one thing to talk about, and then since listening to the program for the last 15 minutes, I have about 40 others. Which one would you prefer?
Yeah, yeah. Well, anything that's relevant, you just go for it.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. As far as a unique perspective here, 8 months ago, roughly, well, about 9 months ago is when I found God. Okay.
Praise
Prior
God.
To that, I had a different opinion of homosexual marriage.
Mm.
The opinion was it was their own home, their problem. Let them get married. I don't care. It's none of my business. Until I found the Lord and started reading the Bible. And it was a rather quick turnaround, overnight, actually.
Really?
But it became actually very, very clear to me what was important and who I should be following. So that said, I still have wrestled back and forth with, do we have the right to go into another person's legally, as far as the laws, you know, perspective? Do we have the right to change it or not change it? So the bottom line is as a Christian, we're supposed to love even so much as our enemies, our worst enemies. We're supposed to nurture them and teach them if they'll have it. The Lord didn't give us a different level of sins. There isn't one that's worse than the other. Sin is sin, whether it be homosexuality or taking his name in vain or cheating on your spouse or, you know, lying. It's all the same. And we need to treat the people of this homosexual community the same as we would anybody else who's committing a sin.
Yeah, so let me jump in. First, thank God for him coming into your life. I think it was a long time coming. It was just 9 months ago, but thank God for him coming into your life. That's wonderful, and he's merciful. And I'm glad that your perspective changed. So there are two things we're dealing with here. One is that, by all means, we treat everyone the same in terms of we show love to everyone, we show kindness to everyone, we seek to reach everyone with the gospel of Jesus, we seek to help people in need, whatever that situation is. If I had neighbors on one side of me that were a homosexual couple, neighbors on the other side of me that were a guy and gal living together out of wedlock, I'd treat them the same. I'd treat them as neighbors. I'd be courteous to them and try to be a helpful neighbor and share the gospel with them. At the same time, if I was now required by my job to sanction the redefining of marriage, I'd say I can't do that. See, one thing is to say how I treat people, right? I'm going to treat everyone as Jesus would have me treat them. And at the same time, I'm going to stand for what's right in the society. So I'm going to stand against abortion. That's going to make abortion providers upset with me. It's going to make some women upset with me in particular. That's going to make some sectors of society upset. So be it. Now I'm going to treat those people as individuals loved by God that need Jesus. That's going to be the same. But I'm going to stand against abortion even if it's controversial. So the philosophy I follow is reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. Hey, one last point. Yes, it's true that all sin is sin, but not all sin is on the same level. The Bible does talk about weightier sins or greater sins. So it's important we remember that. For example, if someone has a wrong thought, like, yeah, I think that person's kind of stupid, they're a little judgmental towards them, that's not as bad as going shooting that person. So, but you're right, we're often hypocritical, and we magnify one sin above another. To me, the sin of homosexuality is not the issue at all. Yeah, it's wrong, but that's not the issue. It's the social agenda. That's the issue. Hey, thank you for the call, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Denise in Richmond, Virginia. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you very much for your program. I want to thank you for your stand and for your clear-headedness that is helping a lot of us keep these issues sorted in our minds as we read the Word and as we seek to walk in our culture. This issue comes very close to me. I have a family member that I'm having to receive grace from the Lord
to just love in the best way. And so it comes very close. This is not someone standing at arm's length, you know, throwing stones. I have one comment to make, especially to the young woman who called. I think her name was Angela. She mentioned that she reads her word. And I'm wondering if this is not a part of the problem. We are taking God's word and saying, yes, I read my word. It's not my word. It's not my take on it. It's what God actually says. And I can't help but wonder if Angela has not read Acts 4, where Peter and John, having been preaching the gospel, were pulled in, were arrested, and were commanded in John chapter 4, verse 18, not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. And yep. In verse 20, they answer, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And I want to say kudos to Kim Davis, wherever she is. God be with you, my sister, and may the power of God show up in your life in mighty ways, as it did for these two brothers in verse 30, where it says, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Lord, stretch out your hand and strengthen Kim. And if she's a martyr, may you truly reward her, Lord. And may the blood that she is figuratively shedding at this point as an example to all of us truly be the seed of a mighty church in years to come. Thank you, Dr. Brown.
Denise, what a great word. Amen. Yeah, Acts, the fourth chapter, read it. It's relevant. Thank you. Thank you for your kind words. Loud and clear. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Sharon, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, sir, and thank you for your perseverance in all these things that you try to help with. I thought when you brought some situations in the Bible, it recalls my memory to Daniel, for who refused to bow no matter what. And even if these government officials lose their jobs, you know, God will take care of them. I mean, just like he did Daniel.
Yeah, listen, the question is not what is in my best interest as far as livelihood. The question is what pleases God.
Exactly.
I mean, absolutely, what pleases God? And that's something that we've just got to deal with. Yeah, there are going to be consequences.
Exactly.
There are going to be consequences. And what we have to do is say we're going to stand and do what's right, not because it's convenient. When has the world ever changed when we stand up for that which is convenient? Exactly right. Sharon, thank you for weighing in. Again, loud and clear, 866-34-TRUTH. I want to take a few more calls, and then I'm going to further intensify your conviction and your resolve to stand. All right? I'm going to grab a few more calls, and then I'm going to share some things with you that will cause you to realize all the more, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, we need to stand. We go to Sarasota, Florida. Daniel, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, I'm so grateful to be on your radio. I've been so grateful for you for many, many years. I'm proud to say I'm lasting fruit. My wife and I are lasting fruit of the Brownsville Revival. And we were so blessed to introduce our three children to you at the 20th anniversary in Pensacola in June. And I want to tell you that on...
Yes. Okay, I've placed you. Yes, sir.
Yes, and I want to tell you that I turned 40 in June, and I was planning, we were planning and saving up to go to Paris on my 40th birthday, but we saw the way that you live your life with total conviction. I'm not even sure you and Nancy take vacations, but you've got your nose to the grindstone, and we were so committed, so convinced of your conviction. We scratched the trip to Paris. We gave your ministry a chunk of our money, and we're planning to give the rest of the chunk in the next month. And we are just so so inspired and so moved by you. And I just wanted to share that gratitude.
Oh, well, thank you. And listen, I pray the Lord will bless you with a great vacation. And it is fine to take them with the family. But yeah, on our end, vacations are not a major part of life. but thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your heart and for the testimony. But look, this is... As much as things are really messed up in America, we know the main reason they're messed up is because the church is messed up because of too much compromise, too much just trying to be like the world, and
yeah.
or be in a way that the world will accept us. and not being willing to swim against the tide and go against the grain. Sometimes people have well-meaning strategies, but they're misguided. They're unbiblical. But
I wanted
also
to give
know,
you an example.
Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to give you an example of, I was thinking about their earlier call for the first hour, the minister that would provide the marriage certificate, but still evangelize in the name of Jesus. And I was on your show several years ago regarding some of the changes in clinical psychology. As you know, I'm a clinical psychologist, and I was trying to think about how would this fit in? How would you do it when you have transgendered, or let's say the example of a gay couple comes in to see you? And there's
stay right there. You can give the comment on the other side of the break. We'll get right to it, okay? And then I'm going to play some clips that tie right in. So stay right there. Thanks.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire. Okay, back to Daniel in Sarasota, Florida. So finish what you were saying. Sorry we had to cut you off there.
I'll be brief. Thanks, Dr. Brown. The pro-marriage researchers point to the five key areas that all couples argue about: chores around the house, money, sex, in-laws, and of course, parenting skills. And so a gay couple could come in to see a therapist and say, okay, we're having these issues. And a therapist can rationalize, all right, I'm going to separate my Christian beliefs from my treatment. We're going to work on their communication skills, their conflict resolution, and being able to domestically talk better, argue more effectively, listen, express more compassion to each other when it comes to any one of these issues, like in-laws or tasks around the house. And therapists can separate. So I think that is somewhat related to how the minister would separate. But it's something I just could not do. I think what you said, it's about pleasing God. It's about not compromising with the gospel.
And look, Daniel, it's just understood that religious people can't do certain things, and that's always been understood. And look, you might work in a hospital and be a Jehovah's Witness, but then you can't participate in certain things because your views, you know, strange views, of course, about blood, you know, blood transfusion. Yeah. But it's understood that you don't force the person to do it, and as long as you have backup and it's not a problem, then it's done. But, I mean, it's accepted for everybody. Except now with a Christian, just saying something which has been normal throughout our entire history. You know, marriage is about a man and a woman. Now you're a hateful, bigot, religious extremist and should lose your job. Hey, thank you for calling in. And again, may the Lord bless you and your family richly. And thank you for your generosity and solidarity. So why do I say that we must draw the line in the stand, that we must take the stands that we take? This is a very real-life situation going on right now. Hillsborough High School in Missouri. There's a gentleman who identified as gay male till ninth grade. Then he decided he was a straight female, and he wants to be able to use the female bathroom. And he was offered his own bathroom and said no. So I want you to hear, this is going on right now in our society. Matt Walsh has a great blog post on this. Forcing girls to share a bathroom with a gender-confused boy is abuse. Number 12.
Lila says school officials have been very accommodating, understanding, and compliant with Title IX federal law. To solve the controversy, they offered her a private, gender-neutral restroom. She turned it down.
I wasn't hurting anyone, and I didn't want to feel segregated out. I didn't want to be in the gender-neutral bathroom. I wanted to be, I am a girl. I shouldn't have to be pushed away and just off to another bathroom.
A girl... does not have the same plumbing, the same packaging as a guy. Sir, you're not a girl. You may be very confused about your identity. You may have some real mental, emotional issues. There may be other things going on, but you're not a girl. And it's not just about you. It's not just about you. There is a school full of kids. And you cannot impose your values on everybody else. Meaning, if you hold to your view and you're convinced that you're a girl and you're uncomfortable in the guy's bathroom and they're offering you a private bathroom, accept that accommodation. Accept that accommodation. That's gracious of the school. But don't impose things on girls, some of whom are going to be uncomfortable with this. That's what's called a girl's room and a boy's room. That's why one is not allowed in the other. But I want, it doesn't matter what you want or what I want. We're talking about imposing this on everyone else. And by the way, it's the exact opposite of the situation now where a clerk says, I can't give a marriage certificate to two men because marriage has always been a certain thing. It's just like male-female has always been a certain thing. So clip number 13.
It wasn't too long ago white people were saying, I don't feel comfortable sharing a bathroom with a black person. And history repeats itself. I think this is pure and simple bigotry. I think they are using the claim that they are uncomfortable as an excuse to target me, a transgender woman.
Oh, he's not a transgender woman. He's a confused teenage guy. And it is not bigotry. There are girls who are uncomfortable with the presence of a male in their bathroom. This is such insanity, friends. That's why I say we draw the line in the sand. That's why I'm urging you to get a copy of Outlasting the Gay Revolution or to tell a friend about it, because when you read it, you'll say, oh my, I didn't realize this. I didn't know it'd gone this far. I didn't know this was happening. That was, yes, yes, yes. Yes, these things are happening. That's why the fifth principle in my book is that we must celebrate gender distinctions rather than blur them or bend them or abolish them or multiply them. And here Matt Walsh, to his blog, he quotes tweets like this. I understand it's a complicated matter, but parents should be teaching tolerance, not cruelty towards Lila. My heart hurts for Lila. Transphobia, among other things, should have no place in our world. Bullies are blanks. Another, those school kids wouldn't even care about Lila using the girls' restroom if their blank parents had them told them to hate. Matt, I'm glad you wrote what you wrote, because I'm ready to write about 12 articles now during my radio show. I'm thinking I got to write this and write that. Thank you, Matt, for writing what you wrote. I haven't read all of it yet, but thank you for getting the word out. And then you put on TV and you're celebrating Caitlyn Jenner. And Bruce Jenner is saying it'd be nice if he could have a man date him and treat him like a woman, feel like a normal woman. And this interview says, you are a normal woman. Friends, America's confused. America's messed up. America is in a unique state of sexual anarchy and gender confusion. What's the answer? Christians waking up. That means compassion towards those who are struggling. If Lila was neighbor of a family, I'd reach out to him with compassion. I'd pray that God would bring him to a place of wholeness. I wouldn't go around, if kids were cracking jokes about him, I'd say, look, the kid's confused. Let's help him. And have him over. Come on, let's have him over for a meal. And just be a neighbor, be a friend. And I would urge every believer I know to pray for awakening in our own midst, because as we awaken, as the church awakens, the seventh principle in Outlasting the Gay Revolution, factor in the God factor. God can move. God can turn things. We have allowed things to go crazy in our society on our watch. That means by God's grace, as we humble ourselves, seek his face, that things could turn back. All right. Thank you for all the great calls today. So sorry I couldn't get to many others who couldn't get through or whom we couldn't get to. But we keep moving forward in Jesus' name. Visit the website, AskDrBrown.org. Check out our special resource offer. Remember to tell a friend about Outlasting the Gay Revolution. My bottom line today, yes, things have gone south on our watch, but that means if we wake up, they can turn around.